This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Now, I'm really pleased to now welcome into the studio Jane Graham from Action Plus First Aid. Welcome to the studio.
Good afternoon, Alison.
Good afternoon. Now, your company delivers professional training to make sure that you're prepared for any medical emergencies which may occur in the home, workplace, or the sports field. So this is a very wide area of expertise, isn't it? So where did you learn the skills? Because presumably some of them must be based on experience rather than just attending a course.
It is, yes. My background is that I'm a children's nurse, and I started nursing about 25 years ago. Most of my nursing was in intensive care, so I was seeing quite a few high-dependency traumatic events going on to families, and it gave me an idea of how families were feeling when they're put in those situations. And families do come away thinking, oh, what if I'd been able to do this, or what if I'd been able to do that? So when I came out of nursing, one of the things that I was very keen to do was to help pass on the skills and the knowledge that I had learnt within my intensive care nursing to help empower parents to deal with these sorts of situations.
What sort of situations would they be with children? Is it sort of mainly falling over or choking? Or?
Well, it could be anything really, like you say, from choking to a nasty graze or a cut or a broken arm. And these can happen in any situation and usually very unusual situations as well.
Because I was in a restaurant recently where a lady started choking, and luckily there was somebody there who was a doctor who came over and actually was able to help her. But everyone else, I think, was in panic mode thinking, well, how do I do this? Because a lot of it, I've heard, is sort of really banging them, and you could, if you didn't know what you were doing, do more harm than good. Is this right?
Absolutely. There are certain techniques that do need a little bit of knowledge and skills to be able to perform them correctly, but also to know what the after symptoms could be and what follow-up that patient or person might need. So it's not just about having a skill and being able to deliver it. It's about where to send them afterwards and what aftercare they need as well.
So you could be a lifesaver for somebody.
Well, that's the aim, hopefully.
What about youngsters? I mean, how young would you actually expect people to start learning these sort of skills?
Well, legally, you can be a first aider between the ages of 14 and 65, but I actually do courses to children younger than that, partially as just fun afternoon sessions where they can learn how to bandage and deal with wounds, and we play with a lot of fake wounds and fake blood, and it helps them understand these difficult situations and learn how to deal with them should they happen to their parents in the home, because that's also a likely situation.
So would you ever envisage it becoming part of the curriculum?
Well, that is the aim, ideally, is that the government wants everybody to learn first aid skills. Currently, only 20% of our workforce should be first aid trained in the workplace, but they want to roll this out to other areas in the home and bring it into the national curriculum, certainly for secondary school and hopefully primary school as well.
Do you go into the realms of EpiPens and food allergies and inhalers for asthma?
We do, yes. It depends on the course, because there are lots of different courses out there, particularly the children courses that are pertinent to play school areas, nursery areas and early year settings within primary schools. They cover asthma, EpiPens and childhood illnesses such as meningitis as well. And they're also covered on the longer three-day courses. But most people want to do just a one-day first aid course, which doesn't unfortunately cover those things.
And you go into some local schools and give the schools the training, so you give the teachers and the pupils, is that right?
That's right. It's mainly just the teachers at the moment, but some schools are very much getting on board with their pupils learning first aid skills as well, particularly for events such as Duke of Edinburgh. They're very keen that the girls learn that skill as part of one of their achievements within Duke of Edinburgh, which I think is fantastic.
I think if children can learn first aid, it might make them less scared about health and if something goes wrong, but also my daughter has an EpiPen, and the hospital were very good at telling her what to do and when to use it. But if she's with her friends and panics, it would be really good for her friends. They said, well, you know, get your friends to do. But our initial thought was they'd be too scared for us to tell them about it. But I think if they could have general training as part of PAHE from primary school, they might not be scared of, you know, the first bit of blood that they see, for example.
So absolutely. My 14-year-old daughter is one of those children who does get very panicky about these sort of things, so I put her through one of my courses last year, and she has a number of friends who have medical conditions in her class, and she has, it's given her a lot more confidence to be around those girls should they go out shopping together or just be spending the afternoon together. She feels a lot more comfortable to know what to do should anything happen.
How long are the courses generally?
Usually the courses are one day, so they usually last about 6 hours. But the longer course of the paediatric courses is a two-day course, which is 12 hours, or the three-day first aid at work course, which has to cover 18 hours.
I did a Surrey FA football course, first aid course, because I'm involved with the girls' football team, which was it was a couple of hours. But do you work with organisations like that as well?
I do, particularly rugby clubs. I used to be, well, I still am very much part of Barnes Rugby Club, and I do a lot of their first aid training, particularly with the new concussion guidelines that have come in from the RFU. So that is rolling out to a lot of other sports centres, particularly the Hockey Association has taken that on. So I try and do a lot of sports first aid training for clubs locally as well.
I was going to say, on the sports front, did you find that after that accident that occurred on the Tottenham Hotspur pitch with Fabrice Muamba, when he actually just collapsed on the pitch, that there was more sort of interest from people to know that even a really fit person like him, who'd been running up and down the field, can suddenly, for no reason at all, just collapse on the field? Did that flag it up a bit more, do you think?
It has, and a lot of things have changed because of Fabrice Muamba, but also a couple of international rugby players who very sadly died. It is sadly a common thing that can occur. People don't realise when people have underlying medical conditions, and they need to know how to deal with them. And Fabrice Muamba's case highlighted the fact that giving good basic life support may not actually resolve the situation at the time. But Fabrice Muamba is a fantastic example because of the treatment that he got on the pitch side. He has made a full recovery now that he's had his surgery with very few long-lasting problems. And that was simply because of people providing excellent basic life support at the time.
Now, looking at companies, do you think that all the companies have all the knowledge and the equipment that they need? Because presumably there must be some legal requirement for every company to provide some sort of care for their employers.
There is. As I mentioned earlier, the current guidelines are that all companies should have about 20% of their workforce trained in first aid. Now, that largely depends on whether it's a high-risk area, so whether it's an environment where more accidents are likely to happen, or whether it's a low-risk area, for example, office workers. So the types of first aid training will vary from employment area to employment area. But ideally, one of the things that the HSE and the Recess Council would like us to do is to roll out so that workforces are 100% trained in first aid.
So does anyone actually check up on these companies to make sure that they have the training they need?
Not that I'm aware of.
So that's a little bit worrying, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Do you think most schools and large companies should have someone on site at all times, say a nurse or someone that is an emergency point of contact?
Ideally, what every company should have is a procedure in place so that if they don't have the facilities to have a first aider at all times, then they have a nearby resource that they can utilise, or a procedure in place where they can get first aid treatment very quickly to a casualty on their workforce area.
In sporting organisations, is it a legal requirement for them to have a defibrillator close by?
It's not a legal requirement at the moment, but there is definitely a movement towards having defibrillators in the general public and in particularly sports areas, because they've just been proven to have such a good result for their use.
And also, if anyone listening today is part of a group and they realise that they've got no medical knowledge if any of their group collapsed or anything, would you organise special courses for them to come along to, or would they have to join a course you're already doing?
No, we very much are very flexible. I like my company to be extremely flexible so that I can tailor my courses to the needs of the clients. So if they want training on a particular day for a particular number of people, or if they want it to be split over a couple of days, because one whole day is quite difficult to take out of your working time, then that's an easy thing to organise.
And which would be the most important thing that most people should actually know about?
Definitely basic life support, because that's the biggest life saver.
And that would be defibrillator use, would it, or other things as well?
It can involve the defibrillator use as well, yes.
Jane, at this stage of the programme, we normally ask our guests for any advice. Would you be able to share any particular tips with our listeners relating to your area of work?
Yes, I've got two tips that I always pass on in my first aid training. And one is to get a really good first aid book that you can put in your bedside table and read a little bit every night just to refresh your skills. It's also very good at sending you to sleep in the evening as well. But I also say to people after my courses, go home and check your first aid kit, see what's in there. Quite often we have things that have sat there for 5, 10, 15 years and that are expired. So do have a good look at your first aid kit and replenish it regularly.
And if listeners want to contact you, could you confirm your website or email address?
Yes, my website address is www.actionplusfirstaid.co.uk.
Thanks very much, Jane. That was really interesting. Love to talk to you a bit after the show as well. That was Jane Graham from Action Plus First Aid.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.